Mr. Ray Allen is my friend and producer engineer on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, August the 3rd, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030. We've got our worldwide live listening available for you anywhere in the world if you listen at buckmastershow.com and, of course, kvoi.com. We've got all of our podcasts and the complete archive on my website as well. Our live line number is 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation at any time during the hour, you are certainly free to do so. Let's welcome now Tucson City Councilwoman Regina Romero to the Buckmaster Show. Councilwoman, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me, Bill. I just fresh off of a family vacation, and so my mind is uncluttered and clear.
Ready to answer the questions.
Yes.
You know, we started the show Monday with, with Penelope Jacks, who is the chair of this Strong Start Tucson group that is, they turned in a lot of signatures, 25,000 signatures gathered during the past couple of months by volunteers and parents. The effort is campaigning to create preschool scholarships. Now, these scholarships would be funded through a half-cent city sales tax increase. What are some of your thoughts on this?
First and foremost, I think that we should have universal preschool and kinder for all of our children. So I support the idea. I support the theory of having high quality preschool education and kinder education for our children. I'm also a huge supporter of quality after-school activities. And of course, you know, our K through 16 system must be fully invested in, which is something that we don't have. So, you know, people know me in this town, and people know that I am a strong supporter of public education, a strong supporter of children and working families. And so first and foremost, I just want to say that I believe in the theory. I believe in what this proposal is trying to accomplish. I have a lot of questions about how this charter change was written. And I have questions
about how it would be executed.
And so I would have liked to have tried something like what Tempe City Council is trying out, starting small. The Tempe City Council put aside $3 million of their general fund budget to try a program like this, but they are working directly with their public school system. And they did research in terms of where the gaps were, where the need was, and they placed the initial program, pilot program, in the area of the city where the needs were. We all have seen the research about how children that do not attend preschool kind of walk into kinder already two steps behind. So I would have liked to have worked much harder together with our public school systems like Sunnyside, TOSD, AMFI, Flowing Wells, and others to take a look at this as a community. And frankly, I wish we would have kind of looked at how to start a pilot program with the city of Tucson, with the public school systems, and with the public to help find a solution to this issue.
So even if you and the other council members say no to this, it still has to go on the ballot. Is that correct?
Absolutely. They did it fair and square, and mm-hmm. they got the signatures to put the item on the ballot. Again, I am not against this theory. I'm not against.
So you're for the concept.
I'm for absolutely the concept, but I have questions, and I'm not saying yes. I'm not saying no. I have questions and concerns about how it would be executed.
So this would go before the council just to put it on the ballot.
No, they don't have to come to us at all.
They don't have to come to us at all.
They've gone through the petition process. They got their petitions signed fair and square. They received a lot, like you mentioned earlier, because of course Tucsonans really care about children and working families.
There won't be a formal vote on the council up or down on this. It's going on the ballot.
Yes.
Yeah. And what about the 1/10 of a penny for the Reed Park Zoo? Are you on board with that?
Again, I think that, our zoo is a special place. I wish we would have had much more dialogue with the Zoological Society and those pushing this particular proposal. We have millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of needs in our public parks, to our soccer fields.
You would have rather
to our baseball
this as part
fields.
Of a park
if we
program.
Would have been able to sit down and talk about how we work at this together. And Bill, when we do that as a community, when we sit down and find solutions, both public and private entities, the community, we usually have success. With the RTA, that's what we did. We pushed and pulled and we came to a balance of transit and transportation funding allocations that we all felt comfortable. So when we hold hands and go at it together, we see a lot of success. And to be honest with you, with Strong Start, it would have been nice to also think about the after-school program that the city of Tucson already runs that is very, very successful. It's called KidCo. And if we would have been able to work together, KidCo fills up, Bill, mm-hmm. in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. In 15 minutes for the summer, in 30 minutes for the after-school program. There's a big need with KidCo. And with a Strong Start Tucson, KidCo is not going to be even part of the equation. And so the same thing with the zoo. We have millions of dollars of worth of needs in our pools, in our park system. It would have been very nice to sit down together and say, how are we going to present to the public a holistic, comprehensive plan that maybe is not like a huge, huge packet, but is something that gets us farther into the mission of what
we all
want.
So if you had to vote right now, you'd be a no on both of them.
I haven't gotten to that point, to be honest with you, because I'm torn.
Okay.
But I have a lot of questions, and we still have time to kind of try and find answers to the questions that I have, and I'm pretty sure others in the public have.
What about this 65% increase for your council member, your colleagues, you and the council members and the mayor? Is this misunderstood that this was something that did not originate from you and your colleagues?
Yes, it's difficult because
people hear that 65%.
Right.
What the heck?
Right.
This came out of the Charter Commission.
This came out of the Charter Commission. The mayor and council do not appoint any member of the Charter Commission. Actually, let me back up. This came out of a city manager appointed commission that is exclusively does recommendation for mayor and council salaries. And so the charter clearly states that this city manager appointed commission gives recommendations that the mayor and council cannot really change substantially. And so then we do the rubber stamping of putting it on the ballot.
Well, one thing that did already pass is a half cent for police equipment, mm-hmm. some fire equipment, and roads.
Right. And that one took some time to get it on the ballot, to be honest with you. Going back to working together and going around and compromising and you know, and making sure that we have a good approach to how we put things together. It passed because it had public support. The mayor and council put it on the ballot unanimously. There were many public meetings out in the community that actually put the concept together. I wanted something longer, to be honest with you. I wanted 10 years or more. You know, there were others that said we need to make it finite and just put 5 years in there. I wanted complete streets. In other words, I didn't want just curb-to-curb road fixing. I wanted sidewalks and water harvesting. And
she wanted a whole
I
package.
I wanted a whole package, but...
it didn't work that way.
You know, but, you know, that's what it takes. It takes sitting down and saying, what is it that the community wants and really needs? And it's really putting something together that will pass. And like it passed last November, it was up in the 60s. And the community really thought it was a good idea.
All right, we're going to take our break right here, 12:15. Rahina Romero sticks around for another segment, 790-2040. If you'd like to join us, we'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Mike Hicks joins us. Mr. Hicks, the president of the TUSD Governing Board. The Friday Roundtable features Sarah Garrett Gaston of The Star and Jim Nintzel of The Weekly. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch. Buckmaster on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and always on my website, buckmastershow.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Green Things. Wow, Green Things, everything green. I mean, it's green all over town, and it's especially green at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Everything you need for your fall gardening. I'm starting to look ahead now to do some planting, get some of the geraniums in. Let's see, I need a couple of rose bushes. You know, it was very tough on our plants, Regina Romero.
Yes.
It was a tough June.
It was
the hottest June ever recorded. And then we get like 8 inches of rain where I live in the central foothills.
The historically highest rain pour in July.
In July,
In Tucson.
And the second wettest month really ever in Tucson. So a lot of rain. And you know, people wonder why in the world is the Tucson City Council getting involved in climate change? What do you say to people when they question that?
It's our absolute responsibility as the leaders of a desert city that really sits at the end of the line in terms of cap water. We must be involved in climate change. And to be honest with you, in my position as the Vice Mayor of Tucson, the council member, I've always cared about this issue. We've tried to push the Kyoto Climate Agreement that happened back in the early 2000s, the late 90s, I believe, took a stand against for that. And to be honest with you, with the Center for Biological Diversity, which I now work for, our environment and climate change is real. And desert cities like ours will be affected gravely.
Some
in,
say
in
we're
terms
on
of
the
water.
Front lines.
Front
of this.
Lines of this. This is the epicenter of climate change because we've all noticed our heat, our summers getting hotter. Our water droughts throughout the southwest of the United States are dangerous in California and Texas. Lake Mead, which provides us with Colorado River water in Tucson, has dropped many feet in terms of the water it carries. And so, let's not even start with public health hazards of climate change. Seniors and children are much more vulnerable. Asthma is will be much more prevalent. And the incidences of wildfires in our state go up because of heat and climate change. And so it affects each and every. My question is, why is the state not getting involved? Why is the state and the governor not saying anything about this and letting our federal government really pull out of commitments to change climate change in our country and throughout the world? So to be honest with you, it starts locally. We have a responsibility to talk about it. We have a responsibility to educate the public of how it really affects people and our city. And so it's something that we have to do work on. And so we need to make sure that we're setting goals for ourselves as a city to diminish the footprint of the output of what we have. So I'm looking forward to the conversation. I'm looking forward to doing more about it. And this is not just a national issue or something that's outside of us. This is something that's very real that we as a city have to be involved with. and that we're setting goals to diminish our footprint and try and make our part in changing what's happening to our world.
And many people don't realize that the Savanno project on the southeast side was really way ahead of its time. I remember, I've been around a long time, 30 years in the community. I remember when the whole Savanno thing came up and people really weren't talking at the time about sustainability. And so it's become like a model in this country.
Absolutely. And I'm, you know, my colleague Shirley Scott is really proud of the work that she did to make sure that we had, as a city, some incentives for the developer of Savanno so that it could become a reality. And so I give a lot of credit to my colleague Shirley Scott for working on that, for really looking ahead. And it is a model, something that development that we have to see happen throughout our state and throughout the country. And so Savanno worked on solar, on water harvesting, on the orientation of those homes, of leaving more of a smaller footprint for every home. So it really was ahead of its time, and it's something that we should talk about as a community as we move ahead. And to be honest with you, Mayor and Council have been having these conversations and changing our codes to make sure that solar is easier to install in the city of Tucson, that we have water harvesting, both passive and much more active water harvesting. We created a conservation fund in the Tucson Water Department to encourage businesses and residents to use less water in our system. We give incentives to residents and businesses that have Energy Star appliances, that have low water toilets, low flow toilets. And this is both for businesses and residents. And we also help pay for active water harvesting systems in businesses and residents.
Your Ward 1 has become the epicenter for a good eating, hasn't it?
Yes, yes. We, as an entire city, we applied for the city of gastronomy, and there's definite hubs. There's definite corridors that you as a resident and tourist visit in the city of Tucson. Downtown is an amazing
space. Some people
space.
Living in the foothills have never been down to try some of those restaurants, but the spotlight has been on them, and they are giving it a chance.
Yeah, we have South 12th Avenue that has always been an amazing culinary resource for our community. Very, very unique and Sonoran-style food that has been recognized by the New York Times, by the New York Post. We have Huero Canelo and BK's that have, you know, appeared in Savour magazine and in the New York Times. And so the resource that we've always had, that we've always known as a community, is actually gaining a lot of traction. And so we currently, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, that we approved the best 23 miles of Mexican food in the entire country. And we worked together with Chris DeSimone to put that together and visit Tucson. And 12th Avenue is part of those 23 miles, best 23 miles of Mexican food. And so we have a lot of culinary resources in our community.
Do you have a particular couple of favorite restaurants?
You know, restaurants that have been in generations in Tucson families, like El Charro. You know, of course, I have my Sonoran-style hot dogs at BK's and Huero Canelo. You know, I love Los Apson right there on 12th, if you want taquitos. I love downtown places like Café Poca Cosa and Penca. I mean, we have so much to choose from. Wild Garlic Grill, even though it's not Mexican food, is right there on First Avenue. That I cried because they're going to the foothills.
Yeah, moving. I just saw that. They're going to.
But you know, I know the owners. I know Chef Stephen Scholes and Marty Gordine for a long time. They've been good friends of mine, and I'm really happy for them because it will be bigger, a bigger space for them. And, you know, we just are very, very, we're very lucky as a community to have so much resources in our culinary experience.
It's brought a lot of tourism. It sure
yes,
has.
That is.
All right, Regina Romero, thank you very much for joining us. Good to have you back after vacation. You're looking very relaxed.
Thank you. Right. And happy.
There you go. All right. We'll take the mid-show break on Buckmaster. Coming up, Dr. David Levy will have us with a little solar eclipse preview. And what exactly will that mean for us in Southern Arizona? Will we be able to get a little bit of that? Maybe so. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, a great place for a weekend getaway or longer. Just 3 hours from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or just kind of hanging out, enjoying a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now on the live line to Vail, Arizona, Dr. David Levy, where he has his observatory located. The former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Educational Organization, Dr. Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9. That was the comet that collided with Jupiter back in 1994 and produced the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. Dr. Levy, how are you? Do you have your bags packed and ready to head for Oregon for the solar eclipse?
Bags are packed, and I'm hitchhiking for a ride to the airport at this moment, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But before that, I'm heading off tomorrow to Ireland to give a lecture speech.
Whoa! Quick
for
trip.
The International Space University.
Oh.
But I understand that when we chose the topics for this month, the word eclipse might have appeared.
I think it appeared 10 times.
Yes, so.
Let's hope, and I know you're headed up to Medford, Oregon. Now, the path of totality will pretty much, like, sort of crisscross the United States, correct, all the way to South Carolina?
Yes, it is. We're actually going to Madras, Oregon, to see the eclipse. The moon shadow will hit the west coast right around Portland, put out all the fires there, and then cross Oregon and go on into the middle section of the country. It will pass through Kansas City, in fact, where my observing logs are resting now for all the world to see, if anyone's interested, at the Linda Hall Library. So the shadow will stop there, read my observing logs, and then continue on into Tennessee, then go off into the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, it's a good thing that the total eclipse isn't today up in the Northwest, because all the fires from British Columbia, that bad air, smoke and haze, combined with temperatures, really record-setting temperatures in Portland and Seattle, it would be bad news if you were trying to view the total eclipse.
Oh, not necessarily. I mean, if there are clouds and rain, you won't see as much as you want to.
Right.
But even if it's cloudy and you're in the path of totality, you will get a wonderful view of the shadow over the clouds. And I've seen an eclipse like that. And what happens is you don't get the total view of the sun, but you get a very dark, it's almost like night.
Uh-huh.
So let's hope it's clear.
So the totality, how does that affect us here in southern Arizona? Will we have somewhat of a partial eclipse?
Yeah, we're actually going to have a pretty generous partial eclipse. I think more than half of the sun will be covered by the moon. And let me tell you a little bit about safety. It's always dangerous to look at the sun with unprotected eyes. Every time. During an eclipse, like we're going to have in Tucson, it's even more dangerous because you want to look at the sun more. You have to get glasses. I believe you can get some at the Flandreau Science Center that are safe You put on those glasses whenever you look at the sun, and you'll be able to see the eclipse beautifully with that.
Hmm.
But if you're on the path of totality, you must use the glasses until the moment of totality, when the entire photosphere is gone for the 2 minutes of totality. Then you take the glasses off, and you see the sun's atmosphere and all of its glory. Some of the bright planets, Venus and Mars, will be there. And you're also going to see some just the beautiful shape of the lunar shadow just crossing over you. It's going to be about 2 minutes for a total eclipse over most of the country, but the way I see it, all total eclipses last for 7 seconds.
7 seconds, yeah.
Yeah.
It goes that fast,
it
probably.
It really does.
And this will be, and I know you've kept track and have logged probably every total eclipse you have seen, and I think it's some crazy number. You've seen a lot of them.
Yeah, if I see this one, it'll be my 90th eclipse.
Oh,
however,
my
when
goodness.
I am in Ireland next week, there will be a partial lunar eclipse, and I might be able to see a little bit of that if the clouds there break apart so that I can see it at moonrise. It's very brief, but I might be able to see that. So this will either be my 90th eclipse or my 91st eclipse. I'll let you know next month.
So we'll only see, I guess it won't really make that big a difference, half of the sun covered. I mean, there won't be that. Maybe some shadows. Shadowing would be different here in Tucson, huh?
Yeah, you might see that the shadow that your body casts is a little sharper than usual.
Uh-huh.
Effects like that. And if you're able to look, if you can find a tree in southern Arizona, if you find a tree, let me know.
Okay.
But if you find a tree and you take a look there on the spaces between the leaves, they will all appear like crescent suns. And that'll be very pretty.
And I recall that from seems like a long time ago, we had something like that here in Tucson, maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think I remember the 2002 eclipse.
That's the one, yeah.
I think where we had a very nice 75 to 80%
That's
coverage.
That's it.
And that was beautiful to see the projected crescent suns all around there.
Yeah, I remember that. Now, I did hear the chime of the bell, which means it's time for the quote of the month. Do you have one for us or no?
Yes, I do. And you know, I always quote from a famous astronomer.
Mm-hmm.
The famous astronomer I choose for this month is William Shakespeare. Some of you might have heard of him. He was a very famous astronomer who lived in England around 1605 during the eclipse of, there was an almost total eclipse in London that year in October, and just at that time he was composing one of his greatest plays, King Lear. And I have a couple of quotes from King Lear where he spends 2 pages of the play talking about eclipses. The Earl of Gloucester begins by getting very panicky, and he says, "These late eclipses in the sun and moon pretend no good to us." And then one of his sons, Edmund, says, "This is the excellent foppery of the world, that when we are sick in fortune, we make guilty of our disasters, the sun, the moon, and the stars, as if we were villains on necessity, fools by heavenly compulsion, knaves, thieves, and treachers by spherical predominance." And he's doing this from an astrological rather than an astronomical perspective, but at the time, that's what they were interested in. And this man knew how to write a play, knew how to put quill to paper, and he knew how to write. And in his first folio, I have counted over 200 references to the night sky or to eclipses in the daytime. And I think that so the first folio of Shakespeare counts as a historic science book. And I wanted to share that with your audience today.
Well, thank you very much, David. Good luck with the total eclipse of the sun up in Oregon. We wish you the best. Hope it's good viewing to you and a safe trip to Ireland tomorrow. David
thank
Levy,
you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
All right. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Joining us on the Liveline, attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk, attorneys at law. Luce, Brown attorneys have three offices, two in Phoenix, one on River Road here on here in Tucson. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill. Thank you. How are you?
Doing very well. The Arizona legislature was certainly busy, weren't they, this past session? 353 bills that Governor Ducey signed. And
you know, a lot of those bills that have been signed into law are scheduled to take effect next week, and a lot of them are mere technical amendments to existing statutes, but several of them are pretty significant changes to our existing Arizona laws. And I've got a couple of those that I can talk about if you'd like.
I would like to hear about them. I think school vouchers is probably one of the more controversial of the laws.
I think that is a fair statement, Bill. So the legislature narrowly passed Senate Bill 1431, which deals with an expansion of the Empowerment Scholarship Account Program. So this is a program that has been around since 2011. And there are currently 3,300 or so students who receive financial assistance to attend private school. The assistance comes in the form of a deposit into an Empowerment Scholarship account, and then the parents are given what essentially is a debit card that they can use with the private school and withdraw funds from the Empowerment Scholarship account. This legislation, which Governor Ducey did sign, would expand the number of students eligible for the program from roughly 3,300 to 30,000 by the year 2022. And as you pointed out, this is a very controversial law, and there are even groups that are trying to get it not take effect, in other words, to put it on hold until a referendum can be held with regard to the law in 2018.
How is that going, that effort? They're running out of time.
They are. They have until August 8th. I just before we went on the air, I did a short internet search to see if there was any recent news regarding their effort, and I wasn't able to find any. But as recently as a few weeks ago, the group spokeswoman said that she's confident that they'll have the required number of signatures by the deadline to put the law on hold. So we shall see. But again, next Wednesday is the date that these laws are scheduled to take effect. So as you mentioned, they are running out of time. If they have the signatures, we're going to find out in the next few days for sure.
And these laws take effect, is it 90 days then from the conclusion of the legislature, or 90 days from when the bill was actually passed?
90 days after the legislature adjourns for the session. So in this year, the legislature adjourned in May. The new laws, unless they're blocked or there is some other reason that they can't take effect, are slated to take effect on Wednesday, August 9th.
There's really a wide range, and I want to touch on some of these. Some of them are rather obscure, like sunscreen at school. this allows a school-age kid attending a public or a public district or charter school, or even a summer camp, that they have to use sunscreen.
without a note or a prescription. Exactly. So, as I mentioned at the top, some of these laws are technical amendments to existing laws. Some of these laws have significant impact on their everyday lives, and others are, as you pointed out, sunscreen in nature.
The texting and driving got a lot of attention, Don Luce, during the session. What is going to happen when August 9th rolls around concerning this subject?
Okay, so the texting and driving, just to remind your listeners, is Arizona's limited texting while driving ban. It applies to a very small group of drivers. And this particular law is not going to take effect August 9th, but rather it's going to take effect in July of next year. So July of 2018, texting and driving in Arizona will prohibit minors for their first 6 months on the road with both a learner's permit and a driver's license from using a mobile device while driving. So as we've discussed on your show several times in the past, a lot of other states across the nation have full texting and driving prohibitions that applies to all drivers. Arizona wasn't able to achieve that, although for years several groups of legislators have tried unsuccessfully to get a texting and driving ban in place. This is, I would surmise, the best that they could do. But again, it applies only to minors for their first 6 months on the road, and it doesn't take effect until July of next year.
How about this one concerning end-of-life decisions, and is this going to affect anybody's estate planning, Don Luce?
This, I think, is one of the more controversial bills that was signed by Governor Ducey. So this is Senate Bill 1439, and what it does is it protects doctors and nurses from any claims of discrimination if they refuse to participate in any service or provide any item that results in the death of the individual. In Arizona, unlike in other states, assisted suicide is not permitted. It's illegal. This law allows a healthcare provider to refuse to take any action that could lead to a patient's death. So the proponents of this bill are saying that this is good because there are people, healthcare providers, who have personal, moral, and religious beliefs that they should not assist someone in death. The opponents of this law say, well, this is so vague that it's likely to invite litigation, and in addition to which, a lot of individuals in Arizona have executed estate planning documents like a healthcare power of attorney that includes specific instructions that prohibit the use of a breathing tube or hydration and nutrition that would be necessary to sustain life under certain circumstances, usually irreversible coma or a persistent vegetative state. So given those end-of-life instructions, how is this law then going to impact the wishes of people who don't want their lives to be extended? In other words, what would happen if a doctor or a nurse refused to honor the request of the person who had executed a valid healthcare power of attorney that said, basically, I do not want life-sustaining procedures employed if I'm in a persistent vegetative state? That question has yet to be answered.
So this kind of leaves it up in the air. Would they have to find someone that would honor the wishes? I mean, there are all sorts of questions that this opens up, Don.
Correct. And that's what the opponents of this legislation have said, that it isn't clear how this is going to interact or relate to the existing laws that allow Arizona residents to execute healthcare powers of attorney that actually contain end-of-life instructions.
How about this income tax exemption? Is this going to change Arizonans' income tax preparation for the calendar year? I guess it would be this, be 2017 or perhaps 2016. Not sure which one.
So this law says that the state budget includes a $100 increase in the personal income tax exemption over the next 2 years, and it's estimated to work out to about $2 per person when fully implemented. So I think good news, right?
Don't spend it all in one place, right? Okay. It's not $100. It's $2.
Right. Well, $2 here, $2 there. Right.
Yep. Let me quick.
Hey, how about this disability rights law? This
okay.
is something I did want to talk about briefly.
Okay.
So, Senate Bill 1406, which Governor Ducey signed, amends the Arizonans with Disabilities Act. So businesses now have up to 90 days to correct structural accessibility violations before a lawsuit can be filed. I think this is significant because in years past, there have been cases where individuals have targeted small businesses, numerous small businesses, and have filed suit alleging violations of the Arizonans with Disabilities Act. And this has actually led to hundreds of lawsuits against small businesses before any prior notice was given, so to speak. So under this amendment, the business will have 90 days to correct the alleged structural infirmity, and a lawsuit cannot be filed during that 90-day window.
All right, Don Luce, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much, Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk Attorneys at Law. Don is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill. My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Don Luce, who appears on our program usually the first Thursday of the month. He's one of two dozen contributors to the program. We're honored to have him and the rest of our contributors who make regular appearances through our radio program. Coming up this afternoon, speaking of radio programs, Mic Check with Mike Shaw from 4 to 5 this afternoon. Ray Allen on board to help Mike out on the other side of the glass. Together they present a very entertaining 1 hour, entertaining and informative hour. All right, coming up tomorrow, we have Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, the Buckmaster Show at 12:04, featuring TUSD Governing Board President Mike Hicks will be my guest. Until then, on behalf of Ray, hope you have a great afternoon and evening.